Why do you think that was? Why did they say, when you pick these guys, here's three things they have to be. Number one, they have to have a good reputation. Why do you think they needed men that had a good reputation in that situation?
Be a good witness.
Oh, excellent. To be a good witness. Hold on to that phrase. There's a key word in there. What else?
They had to be trustworthy.
Absolutely. Stakes were high in this situation. They had to know that these guys weren't going to rip them off, or they weren't going to manipulate things. They had to be trustworthy. Both people had to trust them. The apostles had to trust them, but the people had to trust them too. You had a conflict where people were already suspicious of each other. Them Hebrews, man, yeah. So these guys had to be trustworthy. Excellent answer. Anybody else? Why did they?
They represented the body of Christ.
They represented the body of Christ. Everybody was watching. Oh, did you hear what's going on with them Christian people over there? Yeah, I hear they're at each other's throats. They represented the body of Christ. They had to have a good reputation. Anybody else? Okay, excellent answers. Actually, the word here for having a good reputation is the word, it's translated in other places, as witness. When Jesus said, you will be witnesses unto me in Judea, Samaria, and other uttermost parts of the earth, that word witnesses was the same word. It's a Greek word that comes from the root word martyr, martyramento, menos in this particular case, but it comes from the Greek word martyr. Did you know the word witness in the Bible, it actually comes from the word martyr? What's a martyr? Someone who died for his cause. Wow. They had to be a good witness. They had to be people who were ready to, who knew the cross. They knew the walk of the cross. They would crucify their own convenience, their own agenda, their own priorities, and they would become servants. They would die to themselves and serve the body of Christ selflessly. And their life was a testimony to the cross of Christ in their heart. When you are resolving conflicts in your home, when you guys go home, and God forbid, if you should, I don't imagine that anybody ever have arguments, at home. But in case you do, just in case. When you're trying to resolve that conflict, here's one thing to keep in mind. Don't ever act in private in a way that you would not want to be known in public. Don't ever act in private in a way that you would not want to be a witness in public. When you're behind closed doors, treat them with the same respect and temperance and grace as you would as if this conflict arose in the middle of all your friends. It's so easy to crucify the people we love. It's amazing. I love you so much, and then next time I'm saying things to you that I would never dream of saying to my friends. Oh my gosh. I would never want my friends to see me holler at you like that or to carry on like that. But if we act in private the way we would want people to know us in public, it's a good safeguard. And I'm saying that not because I'm very spiritual. It's just so easy. It's human nature. It's human nature to take that liberty. But allow the cross of Christ to crucify our flesh and seek to serve. Men of good reputation. Okay, number two. They must be men full of the Holy Spirit. Now, why do you think they wanted men who were full of the Holy Spirit? Say again.
The Spirit acts
rather than the person. They're controlled by the Spirit instead of their flesh. Men full of the Holy Ghost. Who else? Anybody? Dennis.
They need a guide.
Ooh, yes. Thank you. They need a guide, someone to guide them through that process, that still small voice. They're walking through a minefield. Man, them widows start fighting with each other. Man, if that thing blows up while they're there, it's going to be a food fight like you've never seen. What did they eat back then? Lentils or something flying across the room, felt the fish. Ooh, it got me in the face. That could be a mess. They had to be led by the Spirit, so that before, rather than going out there and doing something stupid or saying something stupid, the Holy Spirit whispered and say, hey, you don't want to say that to her. Just let it go. John. Discernment from the Holy Spirit. How do I handle this situation? Maybe there's just something that's charged with tension, and you got to know, how am I going to do this? God, give me wisdom to walk in this situation. You know, which widow do I talk to first? Who gets, you know, I've only got one gefilte fish. I got two hungry widows. Who do I give it to? You know, will one be satisfied with lentils or should I go get some, you know, whatever? Wisdom from, I mean, you know, leading of the Holy Spirit. Anybody else? Good answers. I'm thinking of things too, like spiritual warfare. This is charged with spiritual warfare, man. Satan has got his hand, you know, up to the elbow in this situation. You need someone who is full of the Holy Spirit so he can pray against that and bind the enemy and bring the spirit of peace and love into that place. People who are filled with the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. It's a spiritual battle. You need spiritual weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. We need men who are, you know, equipped to do the job. All right, good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit. They also had to be men of wisdom. Why do you think they had to be men of wisdom? Stupid is as stupid does. My mama used to say. Wisdom is the ability to make the best choices to achieve the best goals. And particularly in a biblical sense, it is God's ability to give wisdom to make godly choices from a biblical perspective. Men who are steeped in the Word of God, who view life through the lens of God's truth. And so they will make decisions according to the wisdom that God has laid out. They'll work according to principle instead of human wisdom. Human wisdom causes nothing but junk. I don't know if you guys have ever walked in your own wisdom. You know, if you have, you know, you just thought, oh, yeah, man, this is what I'll do. I'm not going to pray about it. I'm just going to go ahead and, you know. And, man, it's ugly. It is ugly. I'm telling you. Oh, man, the stuff I wish I could undo. The things I wish I could unsay. Because I thought I had it going on. Oh, brother, man, if you guys knew, man, you wouldn't even let me near this pulpit. Men of wisdom that act in accordance with the wisdom God has given us in His Word, who see life through the lens and have trained themselves intuitively. They don't have to go run up and look up Deuteronomy 13, what to do in this situation. They've hidden the Word of God in their hearts. They know it's intuitive. It's a part of them now. And so they just act that way. Mary. Praise God. Credibility goes a long way, man. For those of us who are parents, man, credibility with our kids is priceless. You know, we talked about using these principles to resolve conflicts. You know, we talked about good reputation, good testimony, being full of the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, to help us control conflicts within our house, knowing that the enemy causes a lot of conflicts within our house, too. He provokes our flesh. Wisdom to deal with a situation in a difficult time with our husband or our wife or our brother or our sister or whoever it happens to be, with our boss. And as Mary said, thank you, credibility, man. You know, if you walk this out on a day-to-day basis, when you make a decision, that credibility, you know, the ability to trust you, even if they disagree with you. Unity does not mean you all have to agree on the same things. I mean, there ought to be a core of things you agree on. But uniformity is when everybody is like a robot. That's uniform. Unity means I might disagree with you, but I'm going to love you anyway. We're going to walk in one accord. If there's going to be unity, there has to be some credibility. Yeah, I disagree with you. But rather than fight you on this, rather than dig my heels in the ground and say, I'm not budging an inch, I trust you. You've shown to be a man of good reputation, a man full of the Holy Spirit, a man that uses wisdom. I'm going to go ahead and follow your lead. And husbands, we can use the iron fist approach and say, you're going to obey me. But if we have a good credibility with our wives, it's priceless. If she says, I disagree with you, you know, but what? You have such a good, you have been there, you have provided, I know you're a man of God, I know you're walking in His wisdom, so I'm just going to trust God. I think you're an idiot, you know, in your decision, but I'm going to trust God. I prayed about this one, and God is either going to change me or he's going to change you. And so because, you know, I don't think you're an idiot. Generally, I just think, you know, this decision is like, whoa. But I'm going to trust you because you've earned my trust. You've got credibility in my eyes. And so that's what happened. They chose seven men with good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom. Let's say that together. Men that had a good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit, and full of wisdom. Praise God. And they became the body of Christ. They acted as the body of Christ. And even in the face of something that was threatening to gut the church as an infant, God got the victory. God got the glory, and he used it for his own advantage in the face of the enemy. That's what happens when the body of Christ acts like the body of Christ, uses the gifts that were given from God. Praise God. It takes all of us. It takes everybody on this side of the room and everybody on this side of the room. Yeah. God has a destiny for each of us. Glorious destiny. He knew us from before the foundation of the earth and called us to a destiny in Christ. Praise God. And what was the result of that decision? Verse 7, it says, then the word of God spread. The apostles were free to be the apostles. The word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly. Now they started using those, what do they call those little, you know, exponential. Yeah, it was exponential multiplication. Now the church really exploded. And not exploded with blood and guts. It exploded in glory and grew and multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And even a great many of the priests, the Jewish priests, were obedient to the faith. They came to Christ and got saved and walked out their faith. Satan can come against the body of Christ with a variety of different attacks, but when the body of Christ will act like the body of Christ and walk in good reputation and testimony, walk full of the Holy Spirit, walk in the wisdom that God provides, there is nothing the enemy can use that we can't turn right back and use for the glory of God. Praise God. Even in revival. So are you guys ready for a fight? Hallelujah. I'm ready. I'm not looking for it. But I'm ready. Praise God. Father, thank you for your word, God. You just humble me with your wisdom, Lord. God, I pray that you would make us all devourers of your word, God, and help us to walk out the word you give us, God. Not hearers only, Lord, but doers of your word. Give us the grace and courage to walk in such a way. And let us see, let us have the privilege right here in Queenstown, Father, of seeing your church explode, God, multiplying greatly, just as it did in your word, Father. We pray we would see this with our eyes to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. We're dismissed.